If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, Matthew, the second chapter. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to share this morning in a message entitled, Lessons from the Magi. Lessons from the Magi. Two of the gospel stories, Luke and Matthew, give us details about the birth of Jesus. When we come to chapter 2, it really is after the birth of Christ. Jesus, in fact, had moved. We oftentimes, because of convenience, put the wise men at the manger, but they never made it to the Bethlehem manger. That really is an incorrect interpretation. When we come to Matthew 2, I'd ask you to stand in reading in honor of God's Word, as we're going to learn some lessons from these folks that we sometimes call wise men or kings or magi. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him." Now when Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for that is what is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then in verse 7, it says, "Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I may too come and worship him.'" After hearing the kings, in verse 9 it says, "They went their way, and the star which had been seen in the east went on before them, until they came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house," this is the reason we say that it wasn't in the manger, but in the house, it says, "And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Verse 12, "Having been warned of God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." May God bless the reading of His Word. When we read this story, there are a number of characters. I'm not going to spend much time with him today, but Herod. The reason Herod drew everybody together to find out where the Messiah was born was because the Messiah was a threat. The Herodian dynasty, there were more than one Herod, had come to power because of the Romans, and Herod was king of the Jews. But it is interesting that as we look at these wise men and they're following a star, we know some things about them. We know they came to Herod. We know that they found the baby and that they brought him gifts. But there's some other lessons, and there's some lessons we can learn today from the Magi and that will help us in this Christmas. And as we look at those lessons, we'll understand better how Christmas can become even more real this season for us. Lesson number one is recognition of God's leading. Recognition of God's leading. I want you to look with me again at the Scripture. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the first verse, in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Ladies and gentlemen, what's important is these were not Jews. These were not followers of God. In fact, we believe that they really were into astronomy. They were studying, they were wise teachers who studied the stars. But they made themselves understand that this star that appeared to them, and we believe also that the voice of God came to them, is that they recognized something significant had happened. How do we know that? Well, first of all, they weren't Jews. They weren't followers. They didn't know about the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. But they came. They came to a recognition that God was leading them and calling them to something, because this was no ordinary star. And so the first lesson we learn this Christmas is to recognize, what is it this Christmas that God wants to teach or tell you? You see, Christmas, if you've been at it very long, and if your children maybe are grown, or you've gone on, or you've just kind of been celebrating it a while, kind of just becomes routine. We put the tree up at this time. We put the lights up. We do this. We go to this. We go to that. And we sometimes miss that God may have a message for us. Here on this first Christmas coming were men who recognized and learned the lesson that when God calls, they recognize that God was leading them. And so we must recognize there may be something God wants to say to you this Christmas. And if in the busyness of Christmas as we've made it, you miss that, you've missed an important lesson. You've missed lesson number one. They recognized God's leading. The second thing we learn about them is sacrifice. Folks, it says that they came from the east. Now, they couldn't go to the local airport and pay for a ticket, get on an airplane, and fly to Jerusalem. They had to make a long and arduous journey. We don't know exactly where they came from, but it was a long journey, and they were willing to do it. You see, they recognized, there was that recognition that God was leading them, and then they took the next step of sacrificing by saying, okay, we'll take the next step. You may recognize God is leading you to do something. Maybe it's to become a foreign missionary. You say, well, I can't do that. No, you can't, but God working through you and leading you and empowering you, you could. God has something for you. But that recognition is of no value if we aren't willing to do what the next step is to sacrifice. They left where they were and they undertook a desperate, dangerous journey. They were carrying gold, they were carrying gifts, and here they are on a caravan. I want to tell you what, they had sleep during the day. Somebody says, well, how do we know they had to sleep during the day? Anybody want to help me here? Last time I checked, you can't follow stars in the daytime. They were following the star, so they were sacrificing, traveling at night to a distant land they knew nothing about. So they made the sacrifice after recognizing God's call to them. They made the sacrifice and said, okay, God, I hear you. We'll go see what this is all about. And the Scripture says that they did that. So we have recognition. Lesson number one. Lesson number two, there was the sacrifice. The third one was the acknowledgement. I want you to look with me, if you will, at verse 2 again. They acknowledge that they're looking for a king. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east and we've come. Verse 11, if you'll look at verse 11, they acknowledged who it was that they were to encounter. In verse 11, they encounter Jesus, the baby. And it says they fell down to the ground and worshipped him and coming into the house and they recognized him. They acknowledged that somebody special is who they were going to. In fact, the story tells us they went first to Jerusalem. Why? Because that was the capital. And the capital's where the king was. And they went to the present king, thinking maybe, we're guessing, maybe it was Herod's son that was born. Who is he who has been born king of the Jews? They went to where kings were. But they acknowledged the fact that this child, when in verse 11 they come to where? To the house where Jesus was. Folks, they didn't come to a big old mansion. They didn't come to the Biltmore house. They didn't come to the White House or number 10 Downing Street or to Buckingham Palace. They came to a very simple house. Probably little one room or maybe two rooms at most. And Mary and Joseph probably staying there. She recovers from her time of pregnancy as the child begins to grow before the child is probably taken to the temple. But they come and they acknowledge that this little baby. You see, some people just can't get over that. They can sense God calling them. They're willing to answer the call, but then they come and they go, you mean you people
worship or celebrate the birth of a baby? And that baby was the Messiah? And the answer for us is yes. We acknowledge that He was no ordinary baby. He was no ordinary baby. So they acknowledge Him as royalty. May we do the same thing. Sometimes at Christmas we get so wrapped up that we fail to hear from God, and we fail to take time to sacrifice to do what God tells us to do, and we fail to acknowledge Jesus. We get so busy that we forget all about the baby. Next Sunday you need to be here as I'll be bringing a message called God's Amber Alert, and you'll understand more about the baby. Well, lesson number four is they worshiped Him. Amazing thing. I could see if when they came into the temple, or if they came into Herod's home in Jerusalem, that there was the king and they acknowledged Him. When you meet the king of England-to-be or the queen of England now and Prince Charles, one of the things even Americans do, our president is supposed to do this, is you're supposed to bow or kneel, some folks say. Isn't it amazing, though, that sensing the call of God, lesson number one, being willing to sacrifice and go, lesson number two, acknowledging who He is, number three, they fall down, and they don't just bow and say, yes, we're going to do homage to you, O King. It says they fall down and worship Him. You know, as a pastor, and some of you involved with the cantata and other things, Christmas isn't always fun. In fact, sometimes it's just too blasted busy. I've been a part of churches that had, and I'm glad you don't. Please don't start it. If you do, thank you, but no thank you, okay? And that is Sunday school class parties. Rose and I looked at our calendar and I asked somebody, I said, do the Sunday school classes have parties here? And they went, well, I guess, but I don't know. I said, you mean I don't have to go to all of them? Folks, from Thursday, every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and some Tuesdays, throughout the month of December, I was at a class Christmas party. Or at summer, or the deacons had a party, and the choir had a party, and we all had these parties, and we're all having a wonderful time getting fat. And I would find when I got to Sunday that I went, I'm so tired, I don't even want to see these folks, much less be around them. Christmas is about worship. It says that those that didn't even know who He was fell down and worshiped Him. They didn't reject Him. Can you imagine? They come into a little house and here's this little young peasant girl and this carpenter and their little baby. Here's little Wyatt. You know, Wyatt's cute as he can be. Thank goodness he looks like his mama. Amen. But baby Jesus, he didn't have a glow or an aura about him. There were guards standing and saying, you know, you're going to be. They just came there and they recognized. Why? Because they had sacrificed and acknowledged. And they fell down at a baby and they worshiped Him. Folks, we need to remember that this Christmas, it is about worship. It's about public worship, but it's also about private worship. We publicly worship when we get together for our celebration of services. That's why I tell folks, they go, well, tell me about your Christmas cantata, about the performance. I said, we don't do a performance. It's not a performance. It's an offering of worship and praise to the King. Oh yes, you get to enjoy their singing. But I want you to know that God enjoys it more. And all the praise going to Him. The fifth lesson. So we see acknowledgement. We see worship that they knelt and worshiped. Is sacrificial giving. I want you to notice that they gave something to Jesus. I want you to keep that in mind. Because next week, I'm going to challenge you with something. You probably that you haven't done around here with me. I won't say you haven't done it, but I'm going to give you a challenge. You just be here. You're going to see what this is all about. They gave sacrificially. They come to this
little peasant house with this little peasant girl, this little peasant baby who really was much of nothing as far as the world was concerned. They fall down and worship him, and they offer him gifts. Well, the cool thing about this is there wasn't any re-gifting going on at this giving. Amen? You know the story of the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, what's the big deal? Well, gold. Why would you give a baby gold? Listen, I told you I like bling. If you want to give me some gold, I'm all for it. But gold. Why gold?
Gold was an acknowledgement of his royalty. It wasn't because they just brought gold. It's because they knew that they were going to meet royalty. And what you gave to royals was the gift of gold. In fact, most people, except for the very, very wealthy in the world at this time, gold was only held by kings and the very, very wealthy. So they give him gold.
Interesting. Then they give him incense or frankincense. Frankincense, it tells us in verse 11, frankincense basically was used by the priest in the temple as they went through. You've seen maybe in some Catholic celebrations or in Greek Orthodox celebrations, you've seen them walk through with the scepter and the smoke is going. They used incense or frankincense. They used that in worship in the temple. And who did it? The priest. They're acknowledging Jesus' priesthood. This little baby's going to grow up to be a priest. In fact, he's the head priest of all. And then myrrh. Now, I can see giving a baby gold if I think that y'all would probably take some gold if we gave it to you today, okay? Incense, I don't know if you're into, but you know, myrrh, it'd be okay. But myrrh. They gave Jesus myrrh. Anybody know what myrrh was for? It was for embalming. Myrrh is what you rubbed on a body when someone died. So, gold, incense, and formaldehyde. You ready for that? They gave him formaldehyde. Why? Because through their sacrificial giving, they were pointing to the fact that this baby one day would die. And so he did. And so we have these wonderful, wonderful lessons. This Christmas, as we follow Jesus' example, may we be open to God's lessons. May we be open to God speaking to us and leading us in fresh new ways. Don't let it just be the same old Christmas. Don't come to the end and go, whoo, thank God that's over. Aren't we all doing it? I do it. But when we come to December 30th and 31st, we can say, you know, this Christmas was different. God spoke to me in a different way this Christmas. Why? Because I am willing to recognize that. Let us be sacrificial. As Christians, we're called to sacrifice. They sacrificed their time. They sacrificed their energy. We had folks last night that could have stayed home on Saturday and watched the football, but they went and they sacrificed in order to give to children. Some of you went shopping for the shoeboxes and you sacrificed. There are others we need to sacrifice for. We need to acknowledge something, folks. It's not a holiday. Christmas is not a holiday. It's a holy day. It's not about trees and lights and wreaths and Santa. Oh, that's a little part of it. That's okay. But the reason for the season is Christ. May we acknowledge that. May we worship Him. May we give sacrificially. And may we be prepared to give. You say, well, what do you mean? In Acts 20, 35, you don't need to turn. The Apostle Paul said something about Jesus, and Jesus said this, it is better to give than to receive. And so the challenge for us today is to learn the lessons. As we get ready to go right now, as we come in our time of invitation, will we acknowledge Him? Will we sacrifice for Him?
Will we recognize Him? Will we worship Him? And then will we offer Him gifts? I want you to start thinking, because next week I'm going to raise a question with you and I'm going to give you something. And that is, you know, Christmas is all about giving. I got one more gift for you. How many of you have all your Christmas shopping done? Raise your hand. Hey, oh, come on, brag a little. Show off. All right, those of you that don't, you got one more gift. And it's not for me. And we'll talk about it next Sunday. But the Magi taught us some lessons.